grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 10 is our text to begin. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Notice we are saved to work. We are not saved by works. 8 and 9 say, for by grace are ye saved, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We are not saved by works, but we are saved to work. Verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. This year is about walking in them, walking in good works, and as a result being fruitful, which is our theme that we will touch on often during the year. God wants us to do good works. He saved us to work. Now, I'm all for praising God. I'm all for worshiping God and singing, and those kind of things are things that God would have us to do. And it's very important that we praise God and worship God and sing unto God love God. Those are without doubt commandments in the Bible. But we tend to focus on those and not the idea of being saved to work. Churches today are full, I'm sure, of people who are praising the Lord, worshiping the Lord, singing to the Lord, but not working for the Lord. Not working for the Lord. And it's a rhetorical question. It's really one that does not need to be asked and never will be asked. But I believe that if we were to ask God today, Lord, which would you rather I do, spend my life praising and worshiping you, or spend my life working for you? I believe God, if given the choice, and there is none, it doesn't have to be one or the other. But if there was a choice, I believe God would say, I want you to spend your life working for the Lord. Working for the Lord. And then he'd say this, he says, listen, you're saved, you're going to be in heaven with me forever, and you're going to be able to praise and worship me and sing unto me forever. But you have just got a very short little window of opportunity to work for me on earth. And that door of opportunity is closing very rapidly. If you got to choose between one or the other, I would rather to choose to work and work and work and work and work for me. Jesus said of himself in John 9 and verse 4, he said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Does that make sense this morning? Does that make sense that we just have a very short time to work for God and all of eternity to praise him, worship him, sing unto him, bless him? And I believe the emphasis today would be on work. I believe that is an emphasis that the Apostle Paul had in his writings. For instance, in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9, he said these words, for we are laborers together with God. We are his husbandry. We are God's building. We are laborers, that's workers, together with God. We should labor with God, which is better than laboring for God. Laboring for God is noble. It's better than doing nothing. But oftentimes it is a work of the flesh. But God wants us to labor with him. We are laborers together with God. Paul thought a lot about work. And he was probably the greatest Christian that ever lived. He wrote half of the New Testament. And in it he stressed the theme of working and working and working and working and working. He very rarely touched on music. He very rarely touched on praise. He very rarely touched on worship. But Paul talked about working and working and working and working for the Lord. In fact, he said this one time about himself by way of testimony. In 1 Corinthians 15:10, he says, I am what I am by the grace of God. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. He was not boasting proudly. He was just saying humbly that when the grace of God came upon his life, it was for the main purpose of enabling him to work and to labor for God. And the world to this day, 1900 years later, is still affected by the labor and by the writings of the Apostle Paul. His life is still being lived out in the world. I labored more abundantly than they all. Paul focused on labor, work. Jesus focused on work. I must work the works of him that sent me. And by the end of his life, John testified of Christ that all of the books of the world, he supposed, could not contain the things Jesus did and said. Jesus worked while he was on earth. Paul worked while he was upon earth. And one of the main themes of Paul's writings was work. I want you to notice the subject today is entitled, Every Good Work, It's Possible. It's Possible. I have six verses of scripture on your sheet before you today that has the three-word phrase, Every good work emboldened in the text. And we'll read down through these as we go along today. And I just want to kind of give you an overview of what we're going to try to accomplish this year through preaching and hopefully through practice. And that is getting us to be a church of Christians who has the vision for our lives that God has. God's vision for your life and mine is to be a well-rounded Christian. Not just to have one area where we specialize in, but that we can allow him to equip us by his grace, as Paul said, to work in every single area or what are called good works. Every good work. And if we do not have that vision, we're going to have some conflicts. And we're going to have some issues in our lives with God. For example, prayer. Prayer is a good work. Would you agree with me? Prayer is a good work. Prayer is an effectual work. Prayer can save sinners from going to hell. Prayer can heal people's bodies physically. Prayer can save marriages. Prayer can save families. Prayer can save countries. Prayer can bring revival. There is nothing that prayer cannot do in the will of God. Prayer can move mountains. Prayer is a good work. God knows that. So one way or another, he is going to have us learn how to pray. Sadly, sometimes those that do not get involved in this good work, he drops a bomb right in the middle of their life and blows their life in pieces. The way they respond to that, however, will determine whether they become what God wants them to become or whether they'll become bitter. God oftentimes allows things to happen in our lives to make us pray and to fit us for that great work. One way or another, he's going to hear from us. It'd be better if we just chose to say, I'm going to be a man or a woman of prayer. And so things happen. Sometimes it's health problems. Sometimes it's financial problems, marriage problems. You lose your job. One of your kids goes wayward and you can't understand it, and it thrusts you into a life of prayer. That's a good thing that just happened to you if it teaches you how to pray. And it's something we ought to thank the Lord for. We ought to say, thank you, Lord, for this trial that's come into my life that causes me to pray. Or somebody else in your family that gets word of maybe a health problem or something, that's going to make you pray. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. As we heard in the announcements this morning, Oswald Chambers said, prayer does not fit us for the greater work. Prayer is the greater work. So God has this vision for you and I to be men and women of prayer because we can accomplish so much through a life of prayer. And so God wants us to pray. But if we do not understand what God's trying to do in our lives, we're going to have constant conflicts with Him and issues with Him until we submit ourselves to His will. And God's will for your life is to become a well-rounded Christian in all of these different good works that I'll be mentioning here in a few minutes just to give you an idea of what we're talking about. God wants us to be perfect, and that word perfect in Matthew 5, verse 48 means complete. Complete. He said, be ye therefore perfect, complete, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Now, I want to show you four things here with these verses that bring out the phrase, every good work. I want to show you four things and how these line up and how the progression should go so that you can become a well-rounded Christian in every area. I want you to notice number one this morning, the possibilities. The possibilities. If you want to write that down on your sheet there, number one, the possibilities. And look at the two verses. And Paul, as I said, talked a lot about work. He wanted to get God's people working. In Colossians 1:10, which is our memory verse, it's on your sheet. Read it out loud with me together. Ready? That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now there in Colossians 1:10, notice the possibility. It is possible to be fruitful in every good work. It's possible to be fruitful in every good work. Now, some people are fruitful maybe in one good work. They really know how to pray, and they can testify about having answered prayers in their life. But they don't know how to study the Bible and how to get words and wisdom and knowledge out of the Bible to help them and to help others. Or they don't know maybe how to give. And so they're not being very fruitful in their life of giving. Or they don't know how to care for anybody. And so they're not being very, very fruitful in their care giving life. Or they don't know maybe how to be a good husband or a wife. And so they're not being fruitful in their marriage. But they know how to pray. Now that's wonderful. That's better than not knowing anything. At least they're accomplishing something, and that is in the realm of prayer. But God's, the possibilities of God's word is that we can be fruitful in every good work. We can be fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And this is what God wants to do in you and I. Now you say, how is that? I don't see that's possible, Pastor Cole. I have an inferiority complex. I don't think I can do anything right, Pastor. How is that possible? That I could be fruitful in every good work. Look at the next verse, 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8. It says, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. You see the possibility there? You can abound to every good work by the grace of God. That's what the Apostle Paul said. He just said in that verse I quoted earlier, he says, I labored more abundantly than they all. I've worked harder than anybody on earth, any Christian, I've worked harder than them all, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. See, it doesn't matter. God has wonderfully transformed thousands and thousands of people who had inferiority complexes, who didn't think they were any good for anything, into some of the mightiest men and women He's ever used. How? By His grace. When you understand how to avail yourself of the grace of God, and you begin to use God's grace in your life, you can do anything He has asked you to do. And so we have to see the possibilities today, number one. And grace is just simply God giving you His power, God giving you His enablement. Maybe some of you have just gotten saved. Maybe some of you are not doing anything today. And you've already said, I'll never be like him. I'll never be like her. You need to get those thoughts out of your mind. And you need to realize that it is possible by the grace of God. God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Notice that, fruitful in every good work, abound in every good work. Did you know, let's just take something simple. The average Sunday school teacher, they didn't come out of the womb being a Sunday school teacher. In fact, most of them, if they're honest, the thought just frightened them when they first heard it. I remember the first time I ever taught Sunday school to a bunch of teenagers. Man, I just turned into blubbering stew meat. I really did. I didn't know what I was saying, where I was going, or what I was trying to accomplish. I was a nervous wreck. I said, I can't do this. And after the first class, I convinced myself I couldn't do it. I said, man, I'm never doing that again. But you see, it's not our flesh. It's the grace of God. And the grace of God can abound towards you. No matter what it is that God asks you to do, by His grace, you can do it. So first of all, see the possibilities. Say, hey, I can be a well-rounded Christian. I can do everything God asks me to do. But then second of all, there needs to be a preparation. There needs to be a preparation. Notice number two, the preparation unto good works. If a man therefore purge himself of these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet. 2 Timothy 2:21. That word meet means fit for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. It is possible to get to the place where we can be prepared and fit for the master's use so that in every good work we are prepared for it. Now let me give you an example. Have you ever come across a soul-winning opportunity where a soul-winning opportunity by life circumstances was just dropped right in your lap? But you didn't know what to say, and it was wasted. It doesn't have to be like that, but there needs to be a preparation. There needs to be a preparation. This year is going to be a year of taking one work after another work after another work after another work after another work in my life and across this pulpit trying to prepare ourselves. You can be a soul winner. Now maybe you're here today and you just said, as soon as I got done saying that, you just said, no, I can't. Yes, you can by God's grace. I'll never forget a testimony I heard of a 63-year-old grandmother. And the pastor asked her to come to the pulpit, actually, and give a testimony. And she came up to the pulpit and she said, I have been in church all of my life. I've taught Sunday school. I've done this. I've done that. And so on and so forth. And she talked about all the things that she did in her life. She says, but I never won a soul to Christ. And she said, at the age of 63, I was, number one, convinced of the possibility God could use me. Number one, the possibility. God could use me in this. And so I prepared. And number two, I began to take classes on personal evangelism and on soul winning. And then I went out by God's grace and said, here I go, Lord. And she hit the streets and the sidewalks of her city and just casually walked up to people who happened to be sitting at bus stops and park benches or whatever, began to talk to them. And she said, the first day I was out, I was able to take what I had learned in that classroom and I was able to lead a person to Christ. She was 63 years of age before she led her first person to Christ. And she said, by the end of that first year, I had led 200 people to Christ. And after that point in her life, there was no stopping her. Which brings me up to point number three, the perfection. The perfection. You got to get started. You got to see the possibility. Hey, God can do this through me. Number two, you got to get into preparation. And I'm going kind of quickly here, but as the year goes on, I'll describe this more. You got to learn how to pray. Read books on prayer. There's great books out there on prayer. Go to prayer meetings. Go to men's prayer meeting this Friday night and just say, "Men, I don't know how to pray. I just want to sit here and listen to you pray." And you'll learn things about prayer. I had a man this morning at the chapel say, "Pastor, I am clueless on how to study the Bible." And I said, "Thank you for your honesty." You know, a man older than me, not even able to study the Bible yet. I said, "Thank you for your honesty. I'm going to teach you how to do that. I'm going to teach you how to this year to study the Bible." And you know what? He's going to become fruitful in his Bible study. Fruitful in every good work. Wouldn't you say studying the Bible is a good work? I would. But people don't know how to do it. You can be fruitful. You can be the Bible answer man or the Bible answer woman in your family, in your neighborhood, at your place of work. You can be the one that has the answers just like that from the Bible. But there has to be a preparation and then a perfecting of that. It says here in Hebrews 13:21, make you perfect. See, that woman went out the first time. She had learned things in the classroom. She went out and applied it. She was able to lead people to Christ. Others she couldn't lead to Christ. Others stunned her with questions she couldn't answer, but she kept going out and she kept going out and she kept going out, and that ended up becoming a good work in her that was perfected until finally ladies in the church were coming up to her and saying, "Would you teach me how to lead a soul to Christ?" This is God's plan. Somebody has got to get started in Bible study who doesn't know a thing about it. And study and study and study and study and study until finally people start coming up to you and saying, "Would you teach me how to start the Bible? Where do I start reading? What do I study first?" Same thing in prayer. We need to have men and women who don't know a thing about prayer decide this Sunday morning, "I don't know a thing about prayer, but the possibilities of prayer are endless. They are as mighty as God is. I can move mountains through prayers. I've got to get started and start preparing on prayer." Reading books on prayer, going to prayer meeting, getting on your knees and saying, "That didn't work, that didn't work, that didn't work, that didn't work," and all of a sudden prayers start getting answered. That worked. And then sometime down the road, someone's going to come up to you and say, "Would you teach me how to pray? This is the only way God's work can be replicated and duplicated from generation to generation to generation." Somebody has got to work. I'm all for praise. I'm all for worship. I'm all for singing. We try to do things around here and we enjoy it. But brethren, we were saved to work. Somebody says, "I don't know how to care for people. I know I should. It's Christianity 101. You talked about that last Sunday. I don't know how to care for people." Some people have learned how to do it. They learn in the classroom, number two. They prepared. And then they perfected. I guess, did you know nobody came out of the womb being a bus captain? Do you know that? Boy, there's been some amazing bus captains. I've heard of bus captains in cities where they're surrounded by millions of people. I understand that. But I have heard of bus captains who have built bus routes up to 500, 600, 700, 800 people attending church on their bus route every single Sunday. They weren't born that way. And they'd end up having to coordinate 10 buses, 10 bus drivers and visitation and so on and so forth. They just took that thing as laymen and laywomen in the church and just started building it. And finally they came up to the pastor and said, "I need another bus." We used to have a bus captain in Buffalo, Mrs. Lindsay, and I've got records of her where she used to bring in over 100 people on her bus every week. I got records of it. We had to run two buses. People aren't born that way. She just saw the possibility one time, number one. that, hey, this could be a tool to reach dozens and dozens and maybe hundreds of souls from hell and little boys and girls and teenagers and adults maybe in our community that have no transportation, or maybe they live in homes of moms and dads that don't care whether they go to church or not, but I'm going to care. And there's possibilities here. And they prepared and said, let me attach myself to a bus route. I remember one time going up to Rochester, there was a young man up there named Jeff Bassett who had a bus route in Rochester. And I called him up one day. I said, I hear you run a bus route. And he says, yes, I do. I said, we're thinking about starting one in our church here. And I don't know, I'm clueless. I don't know a thing about the bus ministry. Could I come up and just follow you around for a while? He said, sure, come on up. So I slept at his house. He was a single guy, and I had just gotten married, and we went out all day Saturday visiting, all day Sunday morning on the bus, and bringing. He was so despondent. He said, Pastor, or Art, I wasn't a pastor at the time. He said, Art, I'm sorry, because he only had 59 riders that day. He had such a bad day. And I said, Jeff, this is more than we got in our whole church where I come from. People. And Jeff Bassett, as you know, got married, has a bunch of kids, and now he's over in Africa serving the Lord as a missionary. But you know something? I had to prepare for the bus ministry. And then for 3 years, I was a bus captain. I remember going to North Collins once and bringing 75 people to church and averaging 40 riders every single Sunday out of there and bringing them, just dozens and dozens and dozens got saved. Because you see the possibility. And then you say, I've got to prepare. I've got to prepare. And somebody teaches you how to do it. And then you got to perfect number three. God wants to perfect us in every good work. And that's something you never got done with me, because I was never the perfect bus captain, that's for sure. But the last of all is the pursuit. I want you to notice something here in closing. At the end of this verse, it says, if she diligently followed every good work. Notice the pursuit here, number four. You see, God wasn't done with me when he taught me how to be a bus captain. Because about 4 years later, he says, I want you to be a pastor. Oh, more wonderful. You see, it says here, if she followed, diligently followed every good work. We're not specialists in the body of Christ. Now, when we talk about gifts and callings, that's not what we're talking about this year. That's specialized will of God for your life. I understand that. Some people are called to be pastors, evangelists, missionaries. I understand that. But we're talking about every good work that every believer is supposed to be a part of. Would you agree every believer is supposed to pray? So I believe it's God's will everybody here become an expert on prayer. Everybody here become an expert on Bible study. Everybody here become an expert on giving. I didn't know how to give. I know you're supposed to tithe and give offerings. I was clueless about that. I was a wreck financially. Then I started hearing that in the classroom. And then they started talking about the possibilities. God will open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing so much you won't be able to receive it. And I said, you're kidding. And I prepared. What's tithe? T-I-T-H-E. What does that mean? I didn't even know it meant a tenth. And then I prepared, and then I perfected. I started giving. And man, then over the years now, that thing there, God's so blessed. That area of giving, that good work of giving has become so fruitful in my life. It's hilarious how God has blessed that area. And now I teach it to some. But you don't stop there. It says if she followed every good work. Go on to the next one. See, God says over here, Art, you're not very good at praying. You know, years ago. So let's start there. And God taught me to pray. I said, man, wow, getting prayers answered. Oh, yeah, that's great. But you're not a very good Bible student. Let's get over here in this area of good works. Become a Bible student. Wow, I know how to study the Bible. That's great. Yeah, but you're not a very good giver. All right, let's keep up on the prayer and the Bible study. Now, let's go on to giving here. You need to become good in this area. Okay. And you know, you can't win souls to Christ worth beings. You don't even know what to say. You're a wreck. And so God teaches you what to say. He prepares you. Then you go out and he starts to perfect you. And that didn't work. That didn't work. That didn't work. That didn't work. I don't know if I'll ever get this down. Then all of a sudden someone gets saved. And boy, that worked, you know, that presentation worked, and the Holy Spirit worked through me, and so on. And soul winning. And so now God has perfected or helped complete me in prayer and Bible study and giving and soul winning. And then he says, you know, you don't really care about people much. You're pretty superficial, pretty plastic. We need to get this area of caring for people changed in your life right here. I don't know how you care for somebody, and then you hear about the care ministry and the preparation. You take classes, and then you start practicing it, and then you say, boy, that really worked. Boy, that really opened up that person's heart and that person's world to me, and I was able to get in there and really help that person. And God says, oh, that's great, Art. You just learned about caring over here, but man, you got to become a better husband, right? I gave you a wife here, and you better... wouldn't you say being a good husband's a good work? Doesn't God want to perfect me in every good work? And then he might say to somebody, you're not a very good employee. You know, my Bible says a lot about that. And I want you to prepare to be a good employee. Learn what the Bible says about it and then start practicing it at work. Perfect that thing. And then you'll be the employee of the month. What was it, 4 months in a row, Pam? Yeah, when I heard Jake was employee of the month 4 months in a row or something. Amen. Amen. That ought to be the testimony of Christians. Employee of the month. Amen. It's good stuff. I was so glad when I heard that. Praise the Lord. I remember getting soldier of the month after month when I was in the Army. I was just doing my business, I thought. You see, being a single person, we could stick that in here. You're not a very good single person. God says, I want to make you better. I want to make that a very fruitful season in your life. Let me teach you what the Bible says about being a good single person. Let's get at the perfecting of it. And then you get one area perfected, and then number four, you pursue another area. You pursue another area. Some people in our church are pursuing the addictions program. Are you going out to Illinois? They just praise the Lord. I said, we'll get behind you. We'll give you gas money. We'll help you with lodging, whatever. You want to go out and learn from that church that's mastered the caring for people with addictions, more power to you. Go learn it. And they are about ready to enter into a good work area they've never been in before. And they're not going to know what they're doing. But they've seen the possibility of helping addicted people overcome. And then they're going to go to number two, let's prepare. And then number three, let's perfect. Let's try that here. Let's see what works, what doesn't work. And we get that done, you go on to something else. This is how God builds churches. This is how God builds lives. That's what this year is about. Being fruitful in every good work. And then when it's all over, the Bible says in Revelation 22 and verse 12, Jesus said, behold, I come quickly. And my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. It's going to pay to work for Jesus. And I want to encourage you to be a master of every area of Christianity. If you're here today and you say, I'm not a master of any, I wouldn't, if you called on me to pray publicly right now to close the service, Pastor, I'd faint and fall over dead. I know that feeling. I know that feeling. I remember the first prayer meeting I was in, you know, well, we're going to go around in prayer right here. Well, it's your turn, you pray, man. I was sweating bullets. Palms were sweating. Mouth went dry. Forgot everything. Mine just went white. Didn't know what to pray. Man, I could pray now for an hour and look at my watch and say, man, there's so much more to pray for now that I got to get going though with the rest of my day. Brethren, get the vision of what God wants for you to perfect you in every good work as a Christian. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless now our time and singing, the invitation. Help us to remember, Lord, and what we pursue this year. Oh God, Lord, there's so many areas I'm still just in the preparation stage. Other areas I haven't even begun. Lord, help me Some can prepare for music. Music's a good work. They've never even picked up an instrument yet. But someday they're going to be great at it. Lord, so many things. Soul winning, Bible, prayer, study, caring, helping addicted people, ministering in some ministry, the bus ministry, Sunday school, whatever. Ladies, things, Lord, help us to get the vision for our lives you have. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our psalm books and turn